tu sahanao bhunaktu sahaviryan karavavahai tejasvinavadhitamastu mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Okay. Page 62. Yamaraj continued, devotional service beginning with the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is the ultimate religious principle for the living entity in human society. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, then you should teach us that dharma and deliver us servants. In spite of many varieties of dharma existing, bhakti is actually the real dharma, etavan. The word para is here a noun meaning the highest thing. This bhakti yoga excludes bhakti mixed with the gunas, such as offering karmas to the Lord. This is the abhideya tattva of the Bhagavatam. It has been said, dharma projita kaitavotra parama. The highest dharma rejects cheating dharma. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.2. Savai pum samparo dharma. Bhakti yoga is the supreme dharma for humanity. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.6. Right. So trying to distinguish this element of the pure bhakti, right? That it doesn't have any mix of anything else in it. Right? So that's what we're trying to get to. Right? So we may be performing devotional service in a mixed state, but our ideas are trying to get to that pure state. If we think that the mixed is good enough, we'll remain there. Right? Because only if we value pure as the real thing, then only can we get to that stage. Right? Yes?
But how is this applicable to Arjuna? In the sense that he's chanting with Namabhas?
Yes.
And after that would be developed?
Yes, yes, yes. But the point is that it was saying it's the highest dharma, so it itself is the highest, this is its purest state. Mm-hmm. But the point is, even if it's lower state, it's still higher than all other dharmas.
So it's still the continuation of sub-dharma discussion?
Yes, yes. Yamaraj continued, my dear servants, who are as good as my sons, just see how glorious is the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. The greatly sinful Ajamil chanted only to call his son, not knowing that he was chanting the Lord's holy name. Nevertheless, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, he remembered Narayana, and thus he was immediately saved from the ropes of death. Srila Prabhupada comments, there is no need to conduct research into the significance of the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. The history of Ajamil is sufficient proof of the power of the Lord's holy name and the exalted position of a person who chants the holy name incessantly. So, Ajamil chanted not thinking of the Lord. He was just calling his son, right? But because he had no other kind of mood or anything like that, it was just that in helplessness, he chanted, right? That reminded him of the Supreme Lord. So the whole point is the process is so perfect that it will bring you to that perfectional stage. Does that make sense? So it's not that he chanted purely, he remembered the Lord. No, he didn't. He just chanted calling his son. And still he's delivered. But that reminded him of Narayan, so that takes him further. Does that make sense? Because he had that background. Right? So people who don't have that background, then by association they'll develop. Yeah. And the other point, you don't have to conduct research. This gives all the evidence. This gives everything that's there. Because otherwise then we have to, oh no, but we want to, you know, there should be more research. No, this itself is enough.
That's a classic for atheists, that they want proof and then you give them proof and then they discard it and then they want proof.
No, that's all. Because basically is they don't want to accept. So yes. It's a very subjective position. Yes.
So this will be the most, like, a prominent story of the Holy Name in the whole Bhagavad. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah, you could probably say. Yeah, maybe the chapter where the gopis are, you know, in separation from Krishna, are chanting and remembering the past times and those kind of things. Yeah. But other than that, then yes, this is, you know, this kind of more matches us. Yeah, yeah. The other one is like, you know, yeah, but this is kind of like down on our level. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
We feel connected.
Yeah, yes, yes. Yamaraj continued. Yamaraj continued, therefore it should be understood that one is easily relieved from all sinful reactions by chanting the holy name of the Lord and chanting his qualities and activities. This is the only process recommended for relief from sinful reactions. Did we finish this footnote?
No.
Yeah, because I don't remember we read up to here. I thought it was a different footnote. Okay. Okay, so that was on the point. Okay. Okay, devotional service beginning with the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is the ultimate religious principle for the living entity in human society. Then, that is meant only for bhakti, chanting to get only bhakti yoga. Right? So that's what one's trying to get to. In other words, the process, that is the devotional process. But people are trying to get there. Just like, let's say, someone is learning to do something. Mm-hmm. Along the way, they're going to be making mistakes, they're going to not have focus, they're not going to have proper understanding. Right? But it still doesn't mean it don't keep practicing until you get to that stage. So pure bhakti is actually what is desired. Right? But to get to there, then that may take some time. Right? So what's being discussed is the pure bhakti, but at the same time we see is even if it's not pure, it still has an effect way beyond any other process of religion. Then only is chanting Paro Dharma only for Krishna's pleasure. Right? So when it's only being done for bhakti, then that is the Paro Dharma. That's the topmost religion. So that's where you have that. When we're doing with that, it means it's the topmost religion mixed with other things.
Yeah.
Right. If the activities of devotional service, beginning with chanting of the Lord's holy name, were meant to attain the same results attained by fruit of work and other similar paths, then devotional service would not be superior. When one is an offender, he will use devotional service to attain these insignificant goals. That is the meaning. Therefore, devotional service is not meant to give results that are temporary. This verse was spoken by Sri Yama to his soldiers. Right, so, we've mentioned that you can get all these things, but that's not, the devotees don't use it that way. It's just to show the superiority is that devotional service is getting way beyond. It also gets whatever we have here. Right? Because otherwise you may think, okay, that gets that, but then for around here I have to practice these other dharmas. But the point is no. Bhakti itself will get the results of all other dharmas, but if you only use it for the other dharmas, then that itself is technically offensive because you're not seeing the glory of the holy name, the glory of Krishna, the glory of devotional service.
It's a misuse.
Yeah, it's a misuse. Right. Does that make sense? Because it's so much greater. Yes.
Can we somehow understand that devotees offend by bhakti, and then that piety, so-called piety, they use for other things, not direct bhakti,
mm-hmm.
because this is obviously not their karma. Is it somehow connected? Can they, you know, actually burn that piety with some material things and get good results?
And good results, please?
They prospered.
No, that, because that's coming, that was what was in the previous chapters. It was discussing that that opulence that's there, when you see this opulence come up and go away, then that's that you can see is that's from karma.
Yeah.
But when there's opulence beyond what we would say would be the general standard, that's given by Krishna.
Yeah.
So that lasts, that doesn't go away. Of course, it'd be taken away if you misuse it or get proud or this or that. But generally, that would then come back when the mentality is corrected. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's not something that's just temporary, came up, you used it, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
It would just be, you know, it's just like, let's say, the child is given something, like an allowance, but they misuse it, so you take it away. But it's not that it wouldn't be there, it's just when the mentality is right, it comes back again.
Okay.
You understand?
Yeah.
Like that. So that opulence, you can see, that's from devotional service. Now, you can misuse it and all that, yes, of course. That's our free will. But the actual point is to use it in Krishna's service, then everything continues more. One gets those things from devotional service, so one should continue devotional service. Otherwise, if one only does those and then gives up devotional service and reduces to enjoy those things,
yeah,
then one will be distracted, because that means then one's, you know, artarthi.
Right.
You know, or, you know, it's just a pleasant situation, so it's artha.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
about. Yes. So then they can get distracted, and then you know, that will land them up in, you know, an aristocratic family or wealthy family or a religious family, something in the future, depending upon their nature and, you know, what they've done with it.
Yeah.
So then, again, they have the opportunity to take up devotional service. But then, you know, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of people in the world who have done devotional service and are in these families,
mm-hmm,
but they have to be exposed to devotional service to wake it up, you know? So that's done by waking up, not by us blending in,
mm-hmm,
you know, it means we go to
sleep.
Yeah, because otherwise then, if we're walking down the street looking like devotees doing devotee stuff, then it's like, what's that? Because it'll be noticed because they've done devotional service. But if we don't, then they're already in these families, they can easily forget, and if we're not reminding them, then, yeah, until, you know, things get very difficult and this and that, then they may start looking. But that's not the Gaudiya process. You know, the Madhuas will say you don't need to preach because sattvic souls will come forward. Yes, these ones will come forward, but why wait? They have to wait so long for so much difficulty to come forth. Why not? We're going out. That's the Gaudiya move. Go out.
Yeah.
And so because you go out, then you remind. And even that may take years. You know, you hear of those who first time they see devotees, they just join, like Madhudvisa, right? Comes to the festival, sees the Rath Yatra, he's just hiking around, he takes his backpack, throws it on Subhadra's cart, you know, then follows the Rath Yatra, is at the program, when the devotees go back to the temple, he goes with them, and that was it. He never, you know, it's not that he had to go do a few things, or he was just, that was it. You know, up to people who take many, many years. You know, they see devotees here or there, you know, sometimes come, ask a few questions, and forget for, you know, a long time, then bump into the devotees again. So it takes many, many years. Like sometimes you see, I've met people who...
That's me.
Oh, that's you. Okay.
16 to be exact.
16 years. Wow. Okay.
I got a book on the street when I was a teenager.
I see.
Immediately I was attracted to the Dhamma. And then...
You forget, yeah. So that's the whole point. That's why we're obvious. Because that's what I was mentioning. We do things, one, we get the benefit, but two, others get the benefit. All this fitting in jazz, that's only for our benefit. And it's not our spiritual benefit. It's just that our peace of mind that no one else will think we're weird because we can't deal with weird.
Our material comfort.
It's our material comfort that we are coming from a very narrow social background and we can't function outside of that. We can't accommodate broader. Because right? Generally if someone comes from an alternative background, then, you know, what does it matter? One alternative or another alternative, you're weird anyway, so you're comfortable with weird. You know, so that's the thing. So does that make sense? So in other words, those who say you got to fit in are from a very narrow social background. Their social exposure is very, very less. Like, otherwise, why would you say that?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that something?
You have two sikha, you have one. You know,
yeah, it doesn't matter. You know, you're weird anyway. You know,
like a long sikha.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Those also, yeah, they don't have any problems. You know, yeah. Except they don't tie them; they spike them. But, yeah. Yeah. You know, you wear orange clothes. You have your hair is green. But, you know, it's all cool.
It's all colorful.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that's the thing is that that's the idea. We get benefit. Everybody else gets benefit. So that's the whole thing is that how so just like Sukadev Goswami is getting benefit by chanting, Pariksit Maharaj is getting by hearing. So the two go together. Alayam, embrace until death. Keep drinking the rasa of Bhagavatam until you die or until Krishna embraces you. One or the other. whichever comes first. Okay, so this is the only process recommended for relief from sinful reactions. Even if one chants the holy name of the Lord with improper pronunciation, he will achieve relief from material bondage if he chants without offenses. So we're saying it's just the material side will be taken care of by chanting, even if it's not in the pure state. Right? But it, by continuing that, it will bring it to the pure state. But one has to avoid offenses. That's the point that one has to give up. Offenses have to be given up. So that we have to make the endeavor. The balance of it, the holy name will take care of. Right? So Krishna reciprocates. So we see is that by chanting without offense, it removes all the material distress and problems. That's not the big thing. We'll take it as very big. But actually the big thing is developing love for Krishna. That's what Nama Bas will develop. You know, that will take you to Shudanam, that will take you there.
Yeah.
So we're taking one step, Krishna's reciprocating with 10. Okay. So, yes. No, but okay. But what's the point? What is the question? What's the point? What's the question? Who is he? I thought this was Tulsi Puja. Okay. Okay. Question basically is okay, if we're chanting the holy name and we're committing offenses, then is there any way to get rid of those offenses? Meaning, is there any way to get rid of the reaction from those offenses? That's what it appears. Right? So that's why I'm asking why, because the question's not about, okay, we're chanting offensive, how to get to the point of chanting Shudhanam. It's more of a question, are we going to, you know, the reactions from offensive chanting or offensiveness, you know, how do we deal with that rather than the positive on how do we come to Shudhanam? That's why I'm asking, why do you ask? You know what I'm saying? This now has more of a meaning. You know what I'm saying? That what you said, now that has to do with what we're talking here. What you said before, that's quite a few cantos back. You understand? That's why the question always has to be, try to make it as so it's obvious that it's connected with what's here. Right? So, because we can't always see what you're thinking, or if we can see what you're thinking, then when we give the answer, then there's the problem that you may not think we're seeing what you're thinking, and so then you get grumpy, right? And then that's always a waste of everybody's time, right? Okay? So, the point is do you want to chant pure name? So then make that endeavor. There's nothing else. You understand? That's the whole point of this chapter. There's not another religion that is better. So basically your question is okay, I'm chanting offensively, but I want to come to the platform of pure name, so what can I do to get rid of those offenses. In other words, what other religion other than chanting the holy name can I follow that will then purify me so I can chant the Shuddha name? Mm-hmm. Right? Shuddha name, pure nama. Okay. Yes.
It works.
It works. It works.
You listen to what you mean.
Yeah, yeah, yes. Very good. That's the first thing. Anyone wants to come to the class, you have to listen to what he means, not what he says. Okay? Does that make sense? So is there another religion that will make this religion work? No, it is the supreme religion. Therefore, if one's chanting offensively, the only cure is to keep chanting. But the point is that if one's sincere, one's trying to chant properly, so therefore, that with time those you'll be careful of offenses will go away. But that means you have to actually want the pure name. Right? You know, that's the Bhaktivinoda Thakura is preaching. You know, Shuddha Nama Ruchi. When will I get that taste for the pure name? That's what we want. These other things would go away, because otherwise, you understand, then we're thinking, oh, I do this, what's the fix? You know, my house is like this, you know, the boss do, what can I do to fix it? What's the trick? Okay, put a mirror here, put some bells there, you know, like, you know, do something like that, put something of this color over in that corner, you know, like that. It's not that I'm actually trying to fix it, it's what else can I do to... You understand? So this is not that. That's how everything else works. Right? But the actual point is, it's just like, you know, you're sick, so then there's a remedy. But what's the real remedy for being sick? Right? Going back to Godhead, then, you know, you definitely solve the problem of, you know, disease. Do you understand? Yeah. Yeah, you understand? So that's why it's the highest. It solves all the other problems. That's where it's saying that even... Nama Bas, that removes all the material obstacles. So we're not even talking about Shuddha Namya. Shuddha Nama will give you prema. Nama Bas will get rid of all the material problems. You know what I'm saying? You know, but you don't have to worry. With offensive chanting, then you can keep them if you want. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Ajamil, for example, was extremely sinful, but while dying, he merely chanted the holy name, and although calling his son, he achieved complete liberation, because he remembered the name of Narayana. Right? So we see is that there's the problems being counteracted, but then that more pause moving forward, that's by remembering Narayana. Mm-hmm. So just chanting the name, he's already got benefit. Yeah. That reminded him, Narayana, that takes him further benefit. Right? And then we see after the discussion with the Vishnudutas, Yamadutas, then he took it seriously. Then he progressed, you know, to qualify himself to go back to Godhead. Yes. footnote 30. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns 24 to Bhagavad Arkamrichi Mala, chapter 12, entitled Devotional Service and Practice, Sadhana Bhakti, which is in the Abhideya section of the Thakur's book. So this... Abhideya is quite big. Yeah. So you have sadhana, you have taking exclusive shelter of the holy name, then what's improper for devotional service, what's proper for devotional service. Well, maybe that's just those four. But that's what we've come across so far. Mm-hmm. There's at least four. Okay. Yes.
Why is this devotional service and practice?
Because here's, even if it's chanted with improper pronunciation, even if there's, you know, something else that you're doing. So in practice, then the point is, in practice, this will come up. So if we keep at it, then it will correct everything.
Maybe if you assign many verses to taking exclusive shelter of the name.
Yes. But this doesn't say that you're taking exclusive shelter. It's just pointing out that by chanting, that you will be purified. So that would be the sadhana. The others were making the point that the holy name alone is the only actual real religion. However, you have all the other religions, but only chanting is the real religion. Because the others are religions of this world. the nature of something, you know, like, say, construction, the nature of that, the religion of construction, or the religion of art, or religion of music. These are all there, but this is the ultimate. By that, you get the benefit of everything else. That's the exclusive, right? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. How can chanting only once Namabhas destroy all sins? Now you are saying Tan Nama Grahanadi Bihi. This means by chanting, hearing, and other processes of bhakti, all sin are destroyed and a person attains liberation, not just chanting once. Right, so that's the doubt. Okay, you're saying is that by chanting once, but you're saying this tan nama grahanadi bihi means by, you know, this chanting and all these other processes. So it's not just the chanting, right? It's all these different things.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Chanting intently, sankirtanam, the names and qualities of the Lord destroy sins of man. The word alam indicates that even this is not necessary. If one chants only one among all the Lord's names, and not perfectly, all sins are still destroyed, because Ajamil cried out, not perfect chanting. Not perfectly chanting, and he called for his son named Narayana, not to the Lord. He was sinful, not pure. He was an infamous sinner, not just some Shudra sinner, right? He was infamous. He was, you know, he wasn't just some common person who just lives their, you know, common material lifestyle. He was, you know, he was exceptional.
Determined.
Yes, he was very focused. You know. He chanted while suffering the pains of death, not with controlled mind. Yes.
So can we say he was a Maya Pratita Dhyana, not the Muha?
Yeah, I would even say he's probably even Naradama.
Naradama.
Yeah, because it wasn't that he was an intellectual and was you know, kind of trying to establish his position. He was somebody who was from a higher position who had fallen down to a lower position.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
Like that. So, because he was, you know, a qualified Brahmin, and he fell from that position.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he was quite comfortable in his fallen position. You know, so that would, I would say it's more of that aspect. Okay. And he attained liberation, not just destruction of sins. This is the meaning of Tan Nama Garhanadi Bihi. Is that this and all the other means this and anything else connected with this. Any name, anything like that. So it's not that he has to chant many times. Just one chanting is enough. That freed him from all the sin and gave him liberation. So it's not just freedom. We're stumbling on the point of all sin is gone. Then we're saying, not only that, you get liberation, right? You know, so that's what got, what was his name? Chapala, Gopal Chapala. Yeah, that he couldn't handle that one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe the destruction of sin, okay, but liberation, no. He can't buy that one. So it's right. So the idea is that we're thinking karma and jnana, the benefits, they come from something else. But actually, bhakti just gives those as side benefits. Is that some sense? Yes.
Narayana, it seems that he was quite surrendered to the name of Narayana.
No, but that's what it's pointing out. It's not that he's so surrendered or everything. He only remembered Narayana after. By chanting a Namabhas, then he remembered Narayana. Because, you know, he's dying and this and that. He'd been calling his son Narayana's name for, you know, however much time, a few years, but he had not remembered Narayana.
But it seems that he was afraid of dying.
Basically, everybody's kind of afraid of dying. It's
yes.
Pretty common.
Yes.
That's what he's saying. Well, he chanted while suffering the pains of death, not with controlled mind.
Yes.
So the point is they're pointing out is that the holy name is so powerful, even if it's not chanted in ideal state, still works.
Yeah.
That's what's being brought out.
Yes.
Does that make sense? It means it's not that he was qualified, that's why he's getting the benefit. Because the tendency is we'll say, okay, he got all that benefit, but there was qualification. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, he remembered Narayana or, you know, this or that. But that's all we're doing is trying to present alternative religious processes. Rather than just the holy name is so powerful that if it can give you prema, then why can't these little side things be accomplished? Right? So that's the whole thing, is that we tend to get stuck on this because our idea is religion, you know, is a process by which we can gain all kinds of benefits. Right? And those benefits are very difficult to get and hard work. So how can there be so much benefit with something so simple?
We have to give up the idea that we're the doer.
Yes.
That's why we keep looking for what is it that Ajahn is doing.
Is doing.
We think he's doing.
Yes. You know, or the question before, what can I do? Mm. But it's just a matter of, no, it's a consciousness. Mm-hmm. So the point is even he without consciousness is getting the benefit. Because, in other words, it would be like the, what do you call it? That person who went to Sanatana Goswami. And he was asking about getting material benefit. So he told him, oh, in the garbage over there, there's this Chintamani stone. You can have that. That'll get you material benefit. So he took the stone and, you know, he's getting everything he wanted. And he was then after a while, you know, once that kind of the newness of it goes, then he starts thinking, now, if this fulfills all material desires, and he was keeping this in the garbage pile, then what's the real benefit? You know, so he's thinking there's something way beyond this. So then he went back, and then he, you know, then he described devotional service and chanting Hare Krishna. So the whole point is we're looking at it that this is the big thing, but actually the big thing is prema. So these things just come automatically. Yes.
It seems that the other part of the problem is that liberation, we can't really observe. You know, physically, who's liberated, who's not. Because according to this description, we're all liberated.
Yes.
But we don't deal on that level.
Yes.
So.
Well, it's like the example of the dream. Yeah. A bad dream, then you're still affected by it. Even after some time, you're awake, you're talking to others, but it still is there in the mind. So that's our position. We're actually liberated, but we don't see that. Because technically the soul is always in a liberated state.
Yeah.
It just identifies not in that, so therefore you are affected by that. Is that makes sense? Yeah, so, but the devotees are still very different from everybody else.
Yeah, definitely.
You know,
that's like the fun part, when the devotees say that, oh, it's like it's not working, how do you maintain enthusiasm when you're doing your sadhana and it's not really working, you're not becoming liberated.
Right, right.
They are liberated.
Yeah, but it's just not understood.
Not understood.
Yeah, because you can't function. Like you see sometimes this, a devotee is saying is that, you know, he can't relate to the karmis, but he can't really be strict in devotional service. So it's just, you know, they're not ordinary.
Mm.
You know, and they know their problems coming from, you know, not being serious in Krishna consciousness. So.
This is tathasana.
Yeah, so that's liberating. That's the tathasana position. We're trying to get beyond liberation to prema. So you have material, then you have liberation, then you have prema. So that liberation is the tathasana platform. So that's why it's talked about so much, because those from the spiritual world, you don't have to talk about liberation. Right, so liberation and material mean nothing to them.
Mm-hmm.
But because we're tathasta, we can choose either. So the spiritual is the natural position, but we can choose the material. So that means the tathasta position is liberation, the material is karma. So in other words, that platform of jnana and karma, we're relating to because of our nature.
Mm-hmm.
But in the spiritual world, they don't talk about these things at all. Because it doesn't have anything to do with their nature.
Yeah.
They're inherently, you know, never in contact with the material. Therefore, they're never, there's never a meaning of tathasta. So,
yeah. I heard some people say, some opinion, that, you know, we might not get a prima, or we might not get Sudana But if we just continue to serve Baba and serve mission, and then we serve Islam, then finally we somehow we'll go back to Godhead after we die. Is it true?
But what is? I'm not quite sure of the context. I mean, what is it, what is meant by all this?
We should not just worry about we attend Shuddha Nama or we attend Prima. We just do service, and automatically we will go back to Godhead anyway.
Okay, but is there a focus on doing that service nicely?
Yeah.
And where do we get the you know proper understanding and knowledge of what that service is and how to do it? Where does that come from? Fortune cookie?
No, from Sastra.
Yes.
Yeah.
So is there any endeavor in that way to hear the scriptures and contemplate them and try to practice them?
Yeah.
So is that part of that process that they're talking about?
Yeah.
Yes. So then it will work. You know, if your anxiety, oh, I don't have prema, I'm so useless, you know, that's a waste of time. The point is how to do your service nicely. Then, yes, those things will come automatically. So there has to be endeavor, otherwise how do you move forward? But if you sit in one place, do you go anywhere? No, you get somewhere because you get up and start walking. Right? So automatic doesn't mean you do nothing. Just like, okay, let's say you put your bread in the toaster. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, you push the little lever or whatever it is that makes toasters work these days. You know, like that. You clap hands or say, toast my toast. You know, I don't know. You know. Okay, so now does the toast get automatically toasted?
Yeah.
Yeah? Wow, so you have better toasters than in India. Okay, good. Oh, they're made over there, so they
made
work.
Made in China.
Yeah, they're made in China.
It's all there.
Yeah, so it works, right? Yeah, okay. Because once it gets over here, it stops working. So it must be something with crossing the border or like that.
The energy is different.
Huh? The energy, yes, the weather or something. Yeah.
Planned obsolescence.
Yeah, that's just, yeah. It only lasts as long until it crosses the border. You know, it has a GPS in it. Right? As long as it's in China, it works. When it leaves China, it stops working. Okay. So it automatically got toasted, right?
Yeah, if you push the button.
That's the point. You make your endeavor, and Krishna and devotional service will do the rest. But you have to make some endeavor. It's not that you can sit there on the couch wanting toast and the toast will just, you know, get out of the package and, you know, walk over to the toaster and, you know, jump in and then, you know, I'm not sure if, you know, they have to get another piece of bread to push the toaster thing down, you know, unless you could convince something else, you know, the banana or apple to do that or something, you know. But, you know what I'm saying? You have to do something, and then Krishna reciprocates. Does that make sense? So yes, automatic is there because you're making the endeavor. And then the actual results, that's automatic. So you just have to worry about doing our part, what's been recommended. The rest of it's automatic. Does that make sense?
Yeah, the problem is it's very difficult. Really, very rare to see anybody who attend prema or
no, but you don't have to worry about that. What you have to worry about is qualifying to have prema.
I mean, if we didn't see anybody who really attend that, how can we be encouraged? I mean, he's really leading with us, you know.
This. Not the paper and the black and white stuff and the plastic and the little ringy things here. Have you personally seen Chairman Mao? So how do you know he doesn't exist? How do you know he exists? How do you be inspired about Chinese-ness? Chinese-ness? China-ness.
Reading books about him.
So we're reading books about the great personalities. These are all the people that attain prema by following the devotional process. Does that make sense? Why does it work that you read about someone and get inspired in the material world? Because it originates in the original, hearing about those who have, you know, perfected devotional service. Therefore, that's why it works here. See, Mother Jashoda takes a pot, puts it on a fire, puts things in the pot, stirs them around with a spoon. Because of that, then here in the material world, we can take a pot, put it on the fire, put things in it, and push it around with a spoon, and we get something cooked. You understand? It's not that Mother Jashoda takes all the vegetables and just puts them in a pile on the table, and then you know, gets out her magic wand, and then poof, it turns into something like that. You understand? So that's where it comes from. That there is such a thing as scholarship, that comes from the spiritual world. Then it comes down to here. So we can get inspired, you know, about, you know, in the various areas of that. We haven't seen these people. Right? You know what I'm saying? You know, we can say, no, but I saw them on YouTube or things like that. But the point is that them? How do you know it's not an actor? How do you know you're not sitting in a little bubble somewhere and this whole thing is just a, you know, a show and it's a reality show? How do you know it's not that? You know what I'm saying? It could be anything. But the point is you associate by hearing. Otherwise, there's so many people in the past and then one's inspired by them. You know what I'm saying? You know, Confucius, you know, might be a small group of little old ladies, you know, way out there in the, you know, the Gobi Desert who have nothing to do and that, so they just sit around and talking all kinds of stuff, and someone thought it was cool, so they wrote it down, and then, you know, it doesn't sound good if we say a bunch of old ladies, you know. You know, so then they gave it some fancy name like Confucius. Right? So the whole point is no, you associate by hearing. So you hear from devotees, you practice what you hear, then the rest of the process automatically gets there. Because otherwise, if we take that to its full extent, who in this material world have you seen is actually happy? Have you seen someone who's materially fully happy and satisfied? So then why is it everybody's working so hard? No one's ever seen.
Yeah, somehow they have faith.
Yes, so that's the point, is you gain faith by association. So you associate with those who have material faith, then you progress materially. You associate with those who have spiritual faith, you progress spiritually. Does that make sense? Does that work?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Shravanam kirtanam dhyanam harer adbhuta karmana janma karma gunanam cha tadarte kila cheshtitam. One should always chant and hear about the extraordinarily wonderful activities of the Lord. One should meditate upon these activities, and one should endeavor to please the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.27. Because the Lord does all these wonderful activities. That's why they're done, so that we can get that association. We can become inspired. Right?
So in other words, the Lord is not fitting in. He's coming down here, you know, doing all kinds of things that are out of the ordinary to catch attention. Right? But he does it tastefully, right? So it's, you know, I understand. Does that make sense? He doesn't have one purple shoe and one orange shoe, right? But the point is having the purple shoe and the orange shoe attracts attention. Then people hear the holy name. So in principle, even that process works, right? But we see Krishna does it in such a wonderful way that all varieties of people can be attracted, you know, by his sweetness, by his beauty, by his power, by his fame, by his wealth, by his renunciation, by whatever opulence attracts one, it's all there in his pastimes. Mm-hmm. So that's the point. Krishna comes out, he preaches, he goes out. Right? Does that make sense? He doesn't fit in. But he fits in to what the Shastras recommend. Right? That's the thing. Krishna follows the scriptures. Yeah.
Tasmat sankirtanam vishnor jagan mangalam amhasam mahatam api kauravya vidyai kantika niskritam. O descendant of the Kurus, please understand that intense chanting of the Lord's name, auspicious for the universe, is the ultimate atonement for the greatest sins. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.3.31. These statements show that in many angas of bhakti, one should have complete faith. This is stated to increase the prema in those who have no offenses, and to destroy the offenses of those who have offenses. Right.
So, in other words, these statements, they're showing how if you have offenses, they'll go away. But if you don't have offenses, how with that prema, then it will bring one to that platform of prema. So that's the point, is the name will take you from the offensive state to the pure state and to prema. But you have to continue the process. One has to have faith in the process. So faith is the beginning. You don't have faith, the process doesn't actually start. Right? Means you're getting a jata sukriti, so it's developing, you're actually progressing. But it actually becomes dynamic. We call it devotional service from faith. Right? When faith is there, then we'll say now it's devotional service. Otherwise, before that, we'll call it a jata sukriti. Yamaraj continues, because they are bewildered by the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yajnavalkya and Jaimini and other compilers of the religious scriptures cannot know the secret, confidential religious systems of the 12 Mahajanas. They cannot. So here is Yajnavalkya and Jaimini. Why is he quoting them? Right? Because these are great person. Jaimini is just about doing good karma, being situated in good karma. So you would expect that the followers of Jaimini would not be showing up at Yamaraj's door, right? And Yajnavalkya, then he's one of the main writers of Dharma Shastra. So you have Manu, Parasara, Yajnavalkya. These are the big three. Manu's the biggest, and these other two are the two main kind of like supporters. Then you have another 17 Dharma Shastras, right, for different aspects. So that makes sense. So by mentioning them, if they don't know, that means basically nobody knows. Right?
They cannot understand the transcendental value of performing devotional service or chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, because their minds are attracted to the ritualistic ceremonies mentioned in the Vedas, especially the Yajurveda, Samaveda, and Rigveda.
Right? So these are more the ones for elevating. Yajur is more for kind of taking care of things here. You have a neighbor that really disturbs you, then, you know, like that.
Their intelligence has become dull. Because real and sharp intelligence means to understand the soul and devotional service. Thus, they are busy collecting the ingredients for ritualistic ceremonies that yield only temporary benefits, such as elevation to Swargaloka for material happiness. Right? Because to do these big yajnas, as we mentioned, you have to collect a lot of very far-out ingredients that are not easy to get a hold of. It means that you can get them, but you have to make serious endeavor. Right? They're not just, you know, you go out in your backyard and pick a few things up and, you know, get a few dandelions and stuff like that, and you're good to go.
You know, raid your mom's refrigerator, get some dandelions out in the backyard, you know, look through your toy box, get a few more things, and haribo, you're ready to go. Right?
No.
No. Yeah, a few more than that. They are not attracted to the Sankirtan movement. Instead, they are interested in Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. Footnote 31. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns this verse to Bhagavad Arkamarichi Mala, chapter 13, entitled Sadhana Bhakti Executed Exclusively by Taking Shelter of the Holy Name. Aikantiki Nama Shraya Sadhana Bhakti, which is in the Abhideya section of the Thakur's book. Right? So this is pointed out that all these persons, these are the experts in Dharma. Right, either in the laws themselves or practicing the following of these laws. Right? And they don't know. So that means bhakti, it's without any of this, dependence on all these other things, that's where bhakti is. So that's the exclusive shelter of the holy name. Does that make sense? Right. So he's showing us that here they're giving the example of these people don't know. Because devotional service is beyond that. So therefore, one should know that. That's the point. You're trying to take exclusive shelter of the holy name. So, that's totally missing. Huh? Under repair. Okay. Okay. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, why is it that the learned do not generally teach the best of all dharmas, which easily gives liberation, worshipping the Lord by chanting His name? Rather, they teach and perform karma yoga. Great personalities like Jaimini do not know. How is it that writers of scriptures do not know? The powerful and learned are bewildered by powerful maya. What to speak of the fools being bewildered, right? So here is the mayaya pratyajna. They're so intelligent. So we're not saying that someone's not intelligent. What we're saying is that this kind of intelligence is not the real use of intelligence. Their intelligence is without discrimination. You have something? Because of absorption in the three Vedas, which produce flowers of exaggerated results, which are very sweet. Therefore, they become involved in great sacrifices like darsha paunamasa with great effort, with elaborate materials, mantras, and performance, vaikantike. There is no chanting of the name, which is easily done. Because there's this idea that's more complicated, more developed, something more seemingly more rare in society. You know, that the common man can't do, then one feels this is better. It matches, because I'm you know, intelligent, I'm aristocratic, I'm dynamic, I'm, you know, does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So there's a tendency towards these complicated, rather than just the simple, we chant Hare Krishna.
Like that.
Does that make sense? You know, just like, let us say, do we have devotees that have been involved in projects for some time? Right? And we're talking, you know, and projects that may be doing fine. Right? Devotees are made, they've been maintaining and stuff like that, right? So now would there not be some good valuable resource here on experience on how to run things in the society and practice Krishna consciousness within the material environment.
Sure.
Sure, right? So then if we have faith in the holy name, then it's a matter of, since it's only the name, it's only devotional services, therefore those who have been successful in performing devotional service in these areas, we would be asking them. Are we asking them? No, we're going out to the karmas. So that means there's faith that actually other religious processes are necessary to get success in the holy name. Only if we're materially successful according to these karmas, then people will notice that we're chanting and this and that. But actually, no. The holy name's independent, so it gives that, right? You know, why isn't there a book, you know, the, what do you call it, the X amount of habits of successful temple presidents, you know, or project leaders, or, you know, you understand? But we don't, because it's never studied, it's never looked at. Because you'd have to have faith in them. Because before it was like that. It would be, you know, it'd be there and something here, and then some temple president called and, hey, I heard, you know, you did this, or something happened in Sankirtan, you did that. So, yeah, yeah, we did this, this, this. And then they start doing it, and then it all works. So before it was just because it's all for Prabhupada, it's all for the movement, then they, therefore, they would share. Right? And even in the, you know, spirit of competition, okay, you send out 10 devotees, you know, we'll send out 20. But no, it's, you know, it's a matter of, you know, we want our temple to be the best, so therefore we don't tell anybody what we do. You understand? And then after a while, no one wants to know what you're doing anyway. So, you understand? So that means if there's faith, there's so much experience. Because otherwise, these karmis, how much experience do they have? Right? They're smart. They're observant. But some of them, their theories are quite old. You know? You know what I'm saying? So it means they figured it out and they weren't that experienced. So we have so many people very experienced, but we don't notice them. You know. How many notice that devotee who's been in the temple there for the last 30 years doing his service? Right? No one notices. But how did they do that? What is their focus? And it will be something really simple. Right? So that's what we can do.
So simple we miss it.
Yeah, so simple we miss it. Mm-hmm. You understand? So that's what it's meant by this Aikantiki Namashraya Sadhana Bhakti. It's just the holy name. All these other processes aren't necessary. That's what we mean. We use these dharmas only just to make it nice for the holy name. But the process works even if we don't have them. Right? So if you have nothing, the Sankirtan movement will work perfectly. Right? And if you can add so much to make it, you know, more nice and more attractive, great. But if in adding more attractive you lose the Sankirtan, then what's the use? It's useless. It's a waste of time. It's an actual waste of time. Because we saw before in the fourth canto is making the point is even your doing, your sadhana, your study, all these things, if it doesn't end in actually remembering Krishna, it's a waste of time. Because before that, we always think, oh, material activities are a waste of time. Or now, pious activities are a waste of time. But it also mentioned, even doing the normal recommended activities, if you don't remember Krishna, it's a waste of time. Is that... Srila Prabhupada adds, since one may easily achieve the highest success by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one may ask why there are so many Vedic ritualistic ceremonies and why people are attracted to them. This verse answers that question. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Vedaischa Savedaham Eila Vediha. The real purpose of studying the Vedas is to approach the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Unfortunately, unintelligent people, bewildered by the grandeur of Vedic yajnas, want to see gorgeous sacrifices performed. They want Vedic mantras chanted and huge amounts of money spent for such ceremonies. Sometimes we have to observe the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies to please such unintelligent men. Recently, when we established a large Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan, we were obliged to have Vedic ceremonies enacted by Brahmanas because the inhabitants of Vrindavan, especially the smarta Brahmas, would not accept Europeans and Americans as bona fide Brahmanas. Thus, we had to engage Brahmanas to perform costly yajnas. In spite of these yajnas, the members of our society perform Sankirtan loudly with madangas, and I consider the Sankirtan more important than the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. Both the ceremonies and the Sankirtan were going on simultaneously. The ceremonies were meant for persons interested in Vedic rituals for elevation to heavenly planets. Jari Krita Matir Madhu Pushpitayam. Whereas the Sankirtan was meant for pure devotees, interested in pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We would simply have performed Sankirtan, but then the inhabitants of Vrindavan would not have taken the installation ceremony seriously.
Srila Jiva Goswami says that although Sankirtan is sufficient for the perfection of life, the archana, worship of the deity in the temple, must continue in order that the devotees may stay clean and pure. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur therefore recommended that one follow both processes simultaneously. Right? Because even though the Sankirtan is enough, the difficulty is we don't necessarily have that kind of focus and faith. So the deity worship goes along. And it's a bona fide process. It's just not the main process of this age. But by following it, right? In other words, by Sankirtan, we'll perfect our life. In Dwapara Yuga, by Pancharatra, you could perfect your life. So in this age, the Pancharatra isn't the method to perfect your life, but it's the perfect lifestyle to support the Sankirtan mission. Because then it will keep one clean and pure. Right? So the consciousness has to be pure. You always have to see things in relation to the deity. And you're clean. Right? Physically clean, mentally clean, the paraphernalia is clean, the deity room is clean, the deity is clean, you keep your mantras clean. Yes.
When we say that it's not the recommended process for this stage,
yes,
we mean that it's too difficult for people, and still if there are some individuals who can perfect their life like that, it would still be effective?
The point is that there's different ages for different mentalities to actually get that engagement. Right? So, even, yes, you could perfect yourself with the deity worship, but without the Sankirtan movement, that won't happen.
But just chanting Hare
Krishna,
would that be the Sankirtan movement? And the person who is taking care of the deities all the time?
Means they have to be chanting along with their deity worship. If they weren't chanting, then they wouldn't be able to do it. Because they don't have the piety. But here we have one quarter. In other words, you need 50% piety to be able to make that system run. You need 75% to make the yajnas run. So that's why you see is Sankirtan, okay, you know, no rules, no regulation, we can relate to that. Pancharatra, that's a little more difficult. But okay, not so far. But the yajnas, that's even more of a stretch. Like devotees will accept, okay, deity worship. But basically to this day, then it's pretty common that devotees don't understand samkaras, don't see the importance of them, don't see, you know, say we don't need them at all. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, because more purity is required, more material purity. It doesn't mean more advancement, it just means more material purity. So by chanting, then the Pancharatrik, by the Bhagavat, then we can relate to the Pancharatrik. By practicing those two, we get more purified, then we can relate to the Vedic. So Vedic is supporting Pancharatrik, which is supporting Bhagavat. Does that make sense? But you need more qualification, material qualification. So devotees are going after material qualification, but we see the results of it, they're not anywhere closer to following the Pancharatrik or the Vedic. In fact, many times the people who are materially have faith that material qualification will make the Sankirtan movement go better, then have even less qualification or interest in these two. And they're also the ones that don't necessarily like Sankirtan, and don't like book distribution, don't like Harinam, don't like us looking like devotees, don't like anything that has anywhere to do with devotees. You know?
Right. When you put it like that.
Yeah. So the point is what qualification is gained? Right? So not really anything. There's no benefit to that method. Because what we're trying to say is basically cheating religions will make Krishna consciousness go better. Well, that's Bhagavatam is about getting rid of those, not about cultivating them. We may have them, purify them using Krishna service, but we don't give up the Sankirtan mission to learn these dharmas. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, like,
but for previous ages, the Sankirtan movement, because it doesn't require any qualification still, so that's why it will also work.
Yes. The thing is of all the religions, it's the highest. So every one of the other three includes Sankirtan.
It's the highest because it's directly to the Lord?
Yes. It's non-different. The holy name is the Lord.
The deity is also the Lord.
when you install
the picture
is there, but the point is how you say, what's your qualification for understanding that picture is from there? And where is that coming from? It's coming from your chanting. Right? Otherwise, these pictures are all over the place. You know what I'm saying? You go into any kind of new agey kind of place, there's always going to be a few pictures here and there or something. You know what I'm saying? But no one's adjusting. So it's by the chanting. Then we can take advantage of the Pancharatra. You know what I'm saying? Because for us to discuss this thing doesn't have any meaning. Because unless we were born into one of these high-grade practicing Brahmin families, then there's no question of even discussing whether we could get by with Pancharatra. It means if you're not born in one of those families, it's not even a discussion on the floor. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point, is that for us it's by chanting, that's our qualification. But it's the highest. That's the thing, is we think because it's so easily available, how can it be the highest? The more sophisticated, more developed has to be higher. No, it's actually the holy name is the highest. So all these other things came from Sankirtan. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yuga Dharma.
Yes, yes. No, but she was talking, comparing it to other Yuga Dharmas. Yeah. So there's a discussion between them. But the Sankirtan is there throughout all of them. That's what makes them all work. But within the Sankirtan movement, all the other three are also there within the movement. Within that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So of all of them, it's the highest.
Yeah. Yes. Maharaj, like Jaimini Vedavatya, means you did not get the association of pure devotee to understand.
Yes. No. No. But you see, as they know a lot, they know about Vishnu and his position and everything. But it's just not the prominent aspect. So that means they don't really understand. Because what we're talking about here is the holy name alone, just being chanted, that can perfect all aspects. Anything you lack, if you're chanting, they'll come with time. But the other ones, no, you have to go through all kinds of sadhanas to get the qualification, then they'll work. So that's why we always ask, what do I have to do to, you know, make this work? Yes. You simply just have to be focused on the chanting. Right? So it doesn't require any other religious system. We'll be thinking, no, we have to organize this way, present ourselves that way, do this, do that. These are all other religions. Is that what I'm saying? Okay, so therefore Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur recommended one follow both processes simultaneously. So probably gives the example of two tracks for a train. So you have the Bhagavat and the Pancharatra, then the train goes nicely. Right. So that's Yamaraj continued. Considering all these points, therefore, intelligent men decide to solve all problems by adopting the devotional service of chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is situated in everyone's heart, and who is a mine of all auspicious qualities. Such persons are not within my jurisdiction for punishment. Generally, they never commit sinful activities, but even if by mistake or because of bewilderment or illusion, they sometimes commit sinful acts. They are protected from sinful reactions because they always chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Right? So in other words, Yamaraj isn't awarding these reactions. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So we may do something wrong, there's a reaction, but that's not being awarded as such by karma. It's Krishna is giving a reaction according to what will be useful for our becoming Krishna conscious. Does that make sense? So it's not by, we did this, we got this. No, we did this, but why did we do that? Because of lack of consciousness. So what's happening is to correct that consciousness. Yes.
Can we say that devotees are not dealt by Yamaraj, so they're directly under Maya?
The direct Paramatma is taking care of it. Maya is the one who's directly doing the activity, but she's not the authority. See, for the karmis, Yamaraj is the authority, right? And Maya carries out all these different things. But for the devotees, then Paramatma is the authority, and Maya is carrying it out.
Can we say Yoga Maya?
Yes, he is Yoga Maya. But still, she'll do it through her agency as Mahamaya, right? Until we get to a certain level. Then beyond that, then it's a different category. You know, it's like when Raghunath Das is sitting there next to Radhakund and chanting, it's not that, the external energy came and was Radharani herself, or it wasn't that Paramatma was shooing away the tigers, Krishna was personally doing it. Is that? Yeah. So there comes a point where then it switches, and then. So it's being taken care of by the Lord, it's just through his offices. You know? It's just like the man, you know, the what do you call it? Let's say you have the prime minister, and so he has his officers, and you need something done, those officers get it done. He's doing it, but they're getting it done. But then he also may do things directly because of the relationship. You know what I'm saying? You go to the man, you know, I'd like to do this, this. Yes, yes, you can do this. Just see the secretary. They'll give you all the papers. Or he could say, 1 minute, get up himself, go next door, get the papers and hand them to you. Right? So when we get, you know, to that level like Raghunath Das, then Krishna arranges it himself. But before that, then material energy. But it's coming from Krishna. It's just delivered. She's like the post person. She delivers it. Person, what would be the definition of person?
The definition of person.
Yeah, means it has to have that human kind of form, or?
No, well.
Means, that, you know, does it include, you know, people trying to have tails and horns on their head and sharpen their teeth and all kinds of other weirdo stuff?
They have personality.
Oh, so you're talking about personality. It's about personality. But then that means your cat is a person.
You can even have a car that has personality.
Yeah, so I mean, how do you define person? You know, because I was saying, you know, male person. Should I just say male entity? You know, like that. You know, that more all-encompassing. You know, because if they're coming, right?
Yeah. Jiva covered by masculine conditioning. Political
correct. Yeah, yeah, no. That's just, yeah, no, okay. Srila Prabhupada comments, even though one is a very learned scholar in the Vedic Shastras, he may be completely unaware of the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his name, fame, qualities, and so forth, whereas one who is not a great scholar can understand the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead if he somehow or other becomes a pure devotee of the Lord by engaging in devotional service. Therefore, this verse spoken by Yamaraj says, Evam vim shrishya shudhiyo bhagavati. Those who engage in the loving service of the Lord become shudhiya, intelligent. But this is not so of a Vedic scholar who does not understand Krishna's name, fame, and qualities. Right? So shudhiya is intelligent here. Right? You're bringing out this aspect. So intelligent means there's purification. So that's why we say so-called intellectuals. Because they may have the mechanics of intelligence, but they don't have the purity. So therefore, they can't actually discriminate between matter and spirit, which you can if you're pure. So therefore, we'll say they're not actually intelligent. Does that make sense? No, it's just like you have the professor, right? And he is so intelligent, and he's so absorbed in, you know, his mathematical theories, right? But when he goes to cross the street because he can't relate to the environment around him, he gets run over by a steamroller. Can we actually call him intelligent? right? So in a very specific category, we can say he's intelligent because he has discrimination when it comes to numbers applied in a specific way. But actually, as a person, he has no intelligence. So that's what we mean by so-called scholars, so-called academics, right? You know, so-called, you know, administrators or so-called. Because they don't actually have intelligence when it comes to practically as them, an individual, being involved in Krishna consciousness.
These are the ones that generate the most trouble.
Yeah, they make the... But, you know, that's why God made steamrollers and mat trucks.
Right?
Yes.
The brain success of those individuals is coming from the intelligence?
It's just coming by what they're given by the Lord, by their karma.
Because if they're intelligent, they should be also smart.
No. Okay, just like this. Okay, let us say you have a simple farm girl. Okay? So, and she's not very interested in academics at all. Okay? So, we would say she's not smart. Right? But, does she have the ability to use cleverness to catch the local farm boy from the next farm over? So that's practical intelligence. That's cleverness. Cleverness means practical intelligence.
Okay, so those professors are smart but not clever?
Yes, not at all. They can't figure out, you know, the process of one foot in front of the other.
That's why they stay in the university.
Yeah, that's why they stay in the room. It's safe, right? There's no trucks, you know, driving around the hallways. Because if there were, there would be no professors left. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. No? Just want to hear from authority.
I think in China, some professors, yeah, we are the crowd. They know how to make
That's
money.
Another thing. Oh. But that's an individual. But as a group, you know what I'm saying? They don't dress nicely. They can't relate socially. They can only function in their own niche, which tends to be an intellectual crowd that has their own way of talking and joking and, you know what I'm saying, but that others don't appreciate. Otherwise, why aren't they the most socially... means in the tabloids. You understand tabloid?
Yeah.
Do you have pictures of the academics?
Huh?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Are they in the tabloids? No. So, that's... Because socially, they just don't make it.
It means they're real scholars.
No, they're so-called scholars. Real scholar is one who can discriminate between matter and spirit. We're just showing on the material platform, because otherwise you're taking, if you're intelligent, they take it as across the board, right? A professor, let's say he's a professor in one area. But you'll find much of the time, it's not uncommon, that they will have an opinion on everything. But their paper is not in everything. It's in one particular area. You know, it's about, you know, this particular neutron in this particular environment and how it wiggled three times. But as far as, you know, how to fix a toaster, they wouldn't have a clue. You know, they lock themselves in the bathroom, they're stuck. You know? You know what I'm saying? They don't know how to get out.
To ask for help, so just
that, no, but there'd be no one around to help anyway, because who wants to hang out with these guys, right? So, you know what I'm saying?
3 days.
You understand? So, they're not actually... On the material platform, we would say, yes, these are the real scholars. But we'll say these are not the really real scholars. The really real scholars, those who can use their intelligence to tell the difference between matter and spirit. That's why someone who's not even academically very developed can actually have real intelligence. Just like there's a difference between intelligence and cleverness, there's a difference between intelligence and real intelligence. So they're three different things. So one could have real intelligence and cleverness, or real intelligence, or real intelligence and cleverness, or intelligence and cleverness, or just intelligence or just cleverness. So you can get all those different things. We're only call it real when you can tell the difference between matter and spirit.
Okay.
can use that.
Yes. A person who can tell the difference between matter and spirit, but still he might don't know how to.
That's another thing, but at least he'll go back to Godhead when he gets run over by the truck. That's the difference. The other one, you don't even want to know what that guy becomes.
Right?
You know, he'll become something in a petri dish somewhere. You know.
Still in the lab.
Yeah, still in the lab. Yes.
Another person who is not initiated or connected to the Course Sampadaya cannot have real intelligence.
No, he can have a glimmer.
Something. Else.
Yes. Like that, by association of devotees.
But to
apply it, then unless one actually associates with sampradayic devotees, one won't get that. One can get an interest, one can get, just like so many devotees may come get interested in Krishna consciousness by contacting people who are not in Krishna consciousness. Like that. So it creates sparks an interest. But that's based on the Agyata Sukriti, which you've gotten from devotees anyway. Mm-hmm. So unless there's Agyata Sukriti, why will there be interest? Mm-hmm. Right? So in other words, devotional service comes from devotional service. It's complete in itself. That's what Yamaraj is trying to establish. So he's saying, they know so many things, and we're talking Jaimini and Yajnavalkya. Now these are really great scholars. So you don't have people like that in the world today. Mm-hmm. And they can't understand what the Mahajans are talking about. So that means it's not by academics you can understand. It's not by... And Prachina Barhishat, now he was pious. So practical guy, but he can't understand. Rahugana, he's a big king. He can't understand. So that means all these different positions that we would say, no, that's the material qualification. They would be the best. But that's not actually how it works. Right? So that's not the qualification. It's association of devotees. That qualifies. That's why then the preaching movement is about how to give association to people. Right? And there's where the discrimination comes. Okay, what way to do this and that. But the generic, that's just that we have our system. Lord Chaitanya already showed that. And then specifically how he would talk, he has the five conversations in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Mm-hmm. So these five conversations are very different from each other. So that's according to the individual. That's preaching. But this is not so of a Vedic scholar who does not understand Krishna's name, fame, and qualities, right? Because he doesn't have the pure intelligence. A pure devotee is one whose intelligence is clear. He is truly thoughtful because he engages in the service of the Lord, not as a matter of show, but with love, with his mind, words, and body, right? Because these other things, there's always that element of show. Even if there's some sincerity, so you become good at something material, but there's always that bit of show. Right? If you're on your own, then okay, you're on your own. But as soon as you're out, and then there's that bit of show. Right? Non-devotees may make a show of religion, but it is not very effective because although they ostentatiously attend a temple or church, they are thinking of something else. Right? Especially nowadays, it must be a real trip in these religious centers while they're having some program and some discussions or some lecture. How many people must be doing things on their phones. It must be a real annoyance.
I saw a video about someone in Africa being exorcism, like the devil, he was kind of rattling on the ground, and then his phone rang, and he kind of took the phone. Hang on, this guy.
Yeah, and then he picks up the phone, hits hello, and then the voice says, "I'm not going."
That would have been good. Yeah.
You think that's going to get rid of
it? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Maharaj, a few days ago, I saw in the temple room, they were for the darshan, one devotee making internet. And he was at, you can say, 2 meters from the beginning of the attack. He was in internet.
On a computer?
Yes, a small thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's something important.
Answering.
Yeah, so that's the thing. It's so technologically advanced. That, so as long as it's connected to Krishna, it's very nice.
Yeah.
But if it's not, then it's, you know, less than very not nice. It's a problem. So that's the thing. Anything can be connected, but it has to be connected.
Yeah.
That's not because I connected it once, now it's eternally connected.
You know. This is the internet connection in my opinion.
Ah, yes. Okay, so it's connected.
No. Once it's connected, you have to reconnect it all the time.
Okay, yes.
Constant endeavor.
And even if you have paid, it'll show it's you haven't.
Yeah.
Full surrender.
Yes. So see.
Sharanagati on every level.
Yes. Yeah, from the lowest gigabyteage to the highest. Everybody must surrender, right? Okay. Such persons are neglecting their religious duty and are punished by Yamaraj. But a devotee who commits sinful acts, which he may do unwillingly or accidentally because of his former habits, is excused. That is the value of the Sankirtan movement.
Mm.
Right? So that's the whole point, is one's trying to not do these things, one may end up doing something. But the Sankirtan mission is so powerful, it will then still purify you and take you forward so that these things go away. Right? So it doesn't need a separate system of purification. Just like it doesn't need a separate religion to make it work, it doesn't need a separate religion to purify.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because one is, you know, they're moving forward and the other is to not move backwards. Or if there has, you know, to get rid of what's in the bad. The holy name is competent to take care of both. It's complete.
Yeah.
All other religions are not complete. They need the holy name to actually work. They need bhakti to work. But bhakti is independent. It doesn't need any of the other religious systems. Right? So that kind of faith is required. If we have that from this discussion, then the next stories after this will be able to gain something from that. Right? Yamaraj will continue. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki Jainatai Gaura Premanandi.